Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is a great one. We have Dr. Tiffany Moon, one of my favorite housewives, is here, and an anesthesiologist. Of course, she's brilliant and beautiful. And she has launched an entrepreneurial conference. It's called Lead Her. It's coming up in November of this year. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship and talk about all the businesses that she runs and her tips from her newest book about how to lead a joyful life, Joy Prescription. So welcome to the podcast, Tiffany.
Hi, Dr. K. It's nice to see you.
I'm so excited to finally have you on. I've been watching you from afar. I love your show and love your personality.
Thank you so much.
Well, so as a little intro, I just want to tell the audience that Tiffany Moon is a mom of twins. Not only is she a busy mom, but she's a busy wife, a national best-selling author, entrepreneur, anesthesiologist, social media personality. I don't know how you have energy in the day. She's on at The Real Housewives of Dallas, and she just has captivated her audience with her authenticity and her humor and just. She has over 2.3 million followers, but not even that. She's written 50 medical manuscripts and publications, and she reviews book chapters. She's got a candle company, a wine company, the Lead Her Summit. I don't know how you have time for all of this. This is incredible. Well, how did you get from scrubs to spotlight?
I never wanted to be in the spotlight. I was not looking for it. It kind of found me through a friend of mine, and I had Real Housewives coming to me. And during the pandemic, I actually started sharing little pieces of my life on social media more because I was bored and lonely because, life effectively had been canceled. All my trips and conferences had been canceled. And I was just looking for a way to make some connection with other people. Little did I know that that would bloom into this whole other side career as a social media personality. So I think the lesson here is to kind of be open to new opportunities, even if they are outside of what you would deem to be your lane.
That's so true. I mean, it must have been difficult to step into the spotlight and have the camera on you at all times. And did that experience change you kind of personally or professionally? Did it bring out, were you shy before and now you're super outgoing?
No,
You've never been shy. I don't think you've ever been shy.
I'm an introvert at heart. My favorite thing to do is to cuddle up with my dogs and read a good book, have a cup of tea, meditate, journal, maybe take a nap, go for a walk. I actually re-energize by having alone time. But I also love talking to people, especially when we can make more deep, meaningful connections rather than that sort of like surface level, how's the weather conversation. Like I want to get deep with people, find out what they're really about, learn their history, learn what drives and motivates them. I went from being a little old anesthesiologist working full time at an academic medical center to all of a sudden being a social media figure as well as a real housewife and being recognized at the grocery store, while my kids are like crying and I have no makeup on and someone wants to take a selfie and I'm like, oh my God. And it did change me a little bit, I think, to answer your question, because it forced me to be more aware of my actions because there were so many more eyes looking at me now. I felt like in many ways I was representing us, whether us was female physicians or anesthesiologists or the AAPI community. And so I felt that I couldn't really make mistakes. I needed to represent us well. And it also changed me a little bit because I got some negativity too. And I think, when you go from being unknown to being thrust into the spotlight and people have unkind things to say about you, especially about things that you can't really change, like your race, the way you look, the way you talk. And you just feel so like, oh my God, they hate me. I had no idea that people had such strong negative feelings about me. And it is hurtful. Now, so, 5 years into this, it's sort of like I don't care as much. But at the very beginning, I took all those comments to heart and it was very hurtful. So I think it does change you a little bit as a person.
Yeah, it makes you vulnerable. But the beautiful thing is that you learn to put yourself out there with such elegance and grace and confidence. So like you do learn your own personal strengths, I think.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. People are way too vocal and just releasing everything they're thinking,
Yeah.
as a female physician and a mother of twins, and by the way, I'm a mom of twins too. Boy and a girl, what do you have?
I have two girls. How old are yours?
Oh my gosh, I had my twins in my chief year of residency at UCLA surgery training,
Oh
and
my
so
gosh.
they're 20 now. So can you believe that? It's
I
crazy.
can. My twin girls are 10, but my husband actually has twins from his previous marriage. So he has two sets of twins
Wow.
and they are 21. It's crazy.
It is. It was been the best adventure, but also like crazy. I have four kids, but having two at the same time was really hard. How
Yes.
do you manage burnout and deal with, the high pressure roles that you have to carry and have time for the kids?
Yeah, I say that I wear a lot of hats, and some days I wear my doctor hat and my entrepreneur hat and don't really wear the mom hat much, or maybe just for an hour that day. And that's okay because the weekend is coming up and we have a trip planned. And I try to compartmentalize the different roles that I play and to not guilt myself when I'm doing one thing for not doing the other thing. I tell myself, like, I can only do one thing at a time. I can't, multitask ask that well. And I refuse to feel guilty about, having to wear different hats. But when I am doing something, I am fully present in the thing that I'm doing. So back when my kids were babies and I was a new mom, I would be in the OR, and then in between cases, I would like check the camera and like make sure the nanny was picking up the kids and doing all the things. And then I'd call her and be like, "One of the twins is crying. Why aren't you picking her up?" And she's like, "Because I'm changing the other one right now." And I'm like, and it's just, I was trying to like micromanage, and I was feeling bad that I was at the hospital because I went back to work 6 weeks after my girls were born. I'm sure you did too, because they don't give
Damn,
you any
yeah, it
time
was
off.
crazy.
And I felt bad all the time. And then one day I was like, you know what? I'm not going to have mom guilt anymore. Like, I just decided it one day because it wasn't serving me. The fact that I had mom guilt did not make me be a better mom. It was just making me feel bad about myself. And it's not like I could really do a whole lot to change it other than, quit my job and stay home all the time, which I didn't want to do. And after I decided that I was going to let go of the mom guilt and my mindset shifted, life just became so much more pleasant.
It's so true. And I think in a lot of ways that men don't even ever have any guilt. Like they're at work, like whatever,
Right.
the kids will fend for themselves. And when we grew up, I think our parents were not so ultra focused on what are the kids doing? And let me make sure they're so happy. It was just like, they're at school, we're at work,
I mean, I had a key and I came home from the school
Me
bus at like
too.
3:30 and like microwaved a hot pocket in the microwave because I wasn't allowed to use the oven, did my homework, hung out, and then waited until my parents got home at like 6 o'clock.
Same. It always amazes me. I had like a war key around my neck. So I wouldn't lose it. Imagine sending a child into the universe like that now with a key. Here's the house key on the kid.
My
Walk
kids don't
in.
even know what a school bus looks like on the inside. They have never been on a school bus. They get chauffeured to school and picked up in a carpool line. You know what I mean? It's just crazy the way we grew up and now how my kids are growing up.
It's so funny. Do you ever think about that? How do we not have children with such a privileged mindset because they are surrounded by a level of privilege that we didn't have as when we were growing up? And I
No,
think
for
there's a
sure.
lot to say about like when we were roughing it, we were running around, riding bikes, drinking from the garden hose, and like was watching us.
For sure. I have lost sleep over worrying. How am I going to build resilience, perseverance, grit in my children when everything in their life has been so easy? Because I think that I was an immigrant to this country and we were poor and I saw my parents struggling and I worked hard. I think because of that, it's built me to who I am today. Maybe I don't want my kids to struggle to that extent and buy all their clothes from garage sales and, eat rotting fruit, but I do want them to have some struggles in life so that everything's not just handed to them on a silver platter. And I haven't figured it out. I mean, your kids are a little bit older. What are some parenting things that you've done to build resilience and grit in your kids?
Well, I mean, it's like you go to birthday parties and kids are getting piles and mounds of gifts. So, like, we tried to start with, okay, just kidding. Choose one thing you really want for holidays or Christmas or whatever. We also like didn't give them cell phones till 9th grade, which I think was like torture in this day and age. Everyone has a cell phone in 2nd grade. So, but having them have to talk to each other, interact, and not be like, once you get a cell phone, that's all, you only ever see the top of the kid's head. They never really like look up again, you know? So we limited that. Every kid has had chores and had to have a summer job. So they've had to have like real jobs where either they're working at my office or like my son worked at Nordstrom's in the women's shoes department. And I'll never forget the first day he came home from work. He was like, I'm so tired. My legs are aching. I had to stand for 4 hours. I was just like, this is great. This is the best. And like dealing with demanding, customer service. Like, it's so important for them to go and like have real world experience. So they've all had to get real jobs and earn some money for fun money. And, those are the things that we've done so far. They also have to volunteer. Like, I had a son who was, he's got to be an Eagle Scout. My daughters all got to be like the highest level of Girl Scouts, and they did Girl Scout pro leadership projects. So I think they learn at that level. And they learn by example because we are working so hard.
Right. I think we role model the behavior that we want to see in our children, right? We can't like tell them to work hard and have perseverance if they see us tapping out every time something gets difficult, right? So I think a lot of their behavior is probably learned by just watching us.
Exactly. And that's another reason to not have mom guilt, because they see that you have a goal and you are persistently attacking that goal. And then, results come with like the long-term hard work.
Yeah, with Lead Her Summit last year, it was so cute because my girls saw me working so hard. I mean, I worked harder on Lead Her Summit than I did on my wedding, right? I mean, this, first of all, it cost more than my wedding and it was more complicated because it was 3 days. I had 20 speakers I flew in,
Wow.
food and beverage, a gala, all that kind of stuff. And the girls were helping me. They made all the swag bags. So I made them line up the swag bags and then, the drunk elephant cream. I was like, go through and put one. And then the Touchland donated hand sanitizers and they had to go through and put one. And they were like, Mommy, this is a lot of stuff. And they're like, are you going to give us one of these swag bags? And I was like, we'll see if I have any extra left over.
I love it. Okay, well, Lead Her Summit sounds like such a great experience. So you said it's an elevated conference, and when you're coming to the conference, you're going to be inspired by these women entrepreneurs, leaders, thought figures that are going to change your mindset. So I think I should definitely
You
come.
should definitely come. I would say about half of our attendees were physicians, and the other half were people in the fields of business, finance, real estate, law. And so we don't talk about medicine. Like it's not a medical conference. Like I've gone to enough boring medical society conferences. I mean, I give talks at them. But this is really for thought leadership, entrepreneurs, people who are building a business maybe outside of their normal day-to-day job. And we talk about important topics like communication, negotiation, how to use social media to build your brand presence, how to make money on social media. And the women who are giving the talks are like top tier. I bet if I listed them, you'd probably know some of them.
Oh, it sounds like a great idea. I love that you're kind of combining all your different worlds. So you run a couple businesses. Tell us about your candle business and your wine business.
Yes, the wine business I started with my husband, and really he was the main person leading that. And I got to sort of follow and learn about the business by shadowing him. It's called Three Moons Wine, and it's our winery that's run out of Sonoma and Napa. It's very small. We only produce, I want to say like 500 cases a year, which is minuscule. Like that is nothing. That's like 1% of like Robert Mondavi production, you know, which is crazy. So we're like a very cult winery, and then we sell the wine at our family's hotels and golf course. And so a lot of people who I gift a bottle to, like for the holidays, or if I'm going to someone's party at their house, I'll bring a bottle. And they'll be like, "Where can I buy more of your wine?" And I'm like, "You can't." Like, very limited distribution. And I think that like you can't makes people want it even more. So we have a private wine club. But anyway, that's the wine business, which really my husband runs. The aromesthesia candle business is my business that I created during COVID because I was making candles as like a hobby. It was a stress relieving thing because I like aromatherapy and I'm really into scents. I have like 100 perfumes in my bathroom. I just really like smells. And so I was making my own candles in the basement of my house during COVID. And then I would slap a little Avery inkjet printer on it. And I named them after anesthesia drugs. So, of course, the first candle was like propofol candle. And then on the bottom, I wrote, like, "It smells so good, it'll put you to sleep." And then I was like, "Wait, I probably shouldn't say that. It's like a burning flame. And then someone's asleep. Like, someone's going to catch their house on fire and say it's my fault. Like, let me erase that." But it was really a business that was born out of a hobby, and I never intended it to grow into anything that was profitable or well known. But we've now been in business for 5 years. We're selling well over six figures of candles, which is kind of crazy. I no longer make them in the basement. We outsource it to a lab that's here in Dallas that's all female run. We started with that one scent, and now we have 20, as well as a luxe line that's not named after anesthesia medications, because I think in 2022 was the first year that we tried to take out some ads to promote the candles and acquire new customers, and all of our ads got taken down because it was like ketamine, propofol, Xanax.
Oh
And
gosh.
ad software thought that I was trying to sell drugs online. And I was like, "No, they're just candles. It says does not contain ketamine." And so I made a new Lux line that's not named after anesthesia drugs. And we run ads to those candles, but the other ones are on the website. So people still find it. I mean, I have learned so much about inventory, supply chain, like the glass that we used. One day I got an email that was like, "The glass vessel you use for your candles is back ordered for 6 months." And I'm like, "What the hell? What are we going to do?" Because if we switch to another vessel, that doesn't fit into the box that we have, like all these things, you know. And I basically kind of learned to become an entrepreneur by doing it. You know, it was a crash course. I have no background in business. You know, I know a lot of people get like an MD, MBA, or maybe, you know, they did some business courses in undergrad. No, I was a neurobiology major with no business background, and I literally learned on the fly. Like, as problems arose, that's how I learned.
Why did you choose anesthesia? I mean, I'm in
Oh,
the OR all the time with my favorite people, the
I.
anesthesiologist, but it's all, I always think that anesthesia is that, like they say, it's all 99% it's smooth sailing and 1% sheer terror.
Yes, 1% sheer terror for sure. I love anesthesia because it's a little bit hands-on, but not too hands-on like surgery. And I do love my chair. I do love to sit. I liked surgery, but I found it like to be a little bit too tedious, I guess, and standing there and not being able to, you know, use the restroom. But I liked anesthesia, and then I still got to do some procedures. And that if there was a problem in the OR, like I was the one who could fix it. Like I like being the fixer of things. Like my friends, whenever they have problems, I always try to jump in and like fix the problem. And rotating throughout medical school during third year, there was different parts of different specialties that I liked, but not like the specialty as a whole. And then when I rotated through anesthesia, I was like, "Oh, this is it. This is where I belong," because I'm a little bit of a control freak. I have a little bit of OCD and a little bit of ADD, and it just was I felt like I belong there.
That's so funny because people often I have pre-med students or I'm mentoring girls who want to get into med school and like, or you know, they're already in med school, they don't know what they want to do. And I just say, you know what, you'll find your place. It's like, do you When you go to lunch, do you want to sit at the table with the orthopods or the pediatricians? Like, you'll just know which table you belong at.
Yeah, I always say, like, look for someone who is 5, 10, 15 years out in their specialty, because likely that's what your future life will look like. And does that person have a good work-life balance? Do they seem happy? You know, do they complain all the time, or do they seem like they love what they do? And you know, get a few different examples. You know, don't base everything on like one person that you meet. But generally, I found the anesthesiologist to be kind, funny, thoughtful. You know, I liked that like something happened in the OR and they did something and then the patient got better. I was like, that's so cool. I want to do that.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right, because like I also studied neurobiology and wanted to be a neurosurgeon, but like just a week or two of rotating with the neurosurgeons, I was like, these are not happy people.
No, like they're all like miserable and like going through a divorce. And I was like,
All of them getting divorced,
oh
yes.
my God, I know. I was like, I don't think these people, I don't, this is not what I want my future life to look like.
Not at all. Well, what does your future life look like coming up in the next 5 years?
Ah, that is an excellent question. You know, I'm sort of have my fingers in a lot of different holes, if you will, right now. I'm still working at the hospital. I've only had one job post residency, which is the current job that I have. I'm part-time, which is 3 days a week, but I still feel like that's a good amount. I'm still teaching residents and medical students. I still have a clinical trial that I'm wrapping up to submit for publication. I'm speaking on our annual ASA meeting that's coming up in the fall. So I'm still doing anesthesia. I just finished promotion for my book, Joy Prescriptions, which is a memoir with a little bit of a self-help angle, talking about all the different lessons that I've learned throughout my life and how the reader can apply those lessons to their life. I'm still continuing to promote the book, but it's not as heavy as it was a couple of months ago. And then I have a podcast with Dr. Nicole Martin from Real Housewives of Miami. I'm not sure if you know her, but she'll be at the summit too. We have a podcast called Scrubs to Stilettos, which kind of encompasses the fact that, you know, we're both physicians, but hey, like we can get glam and talk about beauty, skincare, fashion, luxury as well. So I'm working on the podcast with her. And then, of course, Lead Her Summit is going to take up a lot of my time because it's the coordinating of all the speakers and the schedule. And it's really like planning a multi-day wedding. You know, like I have a run of show. This song needs to play when this speaker walks up. This other song needs to play when this speaker walks up. We have to stay on time. There's a gala, there's a happy hour, there's a magician. Like it's a robust conference. It is not your typical conference at all. It is fun. And as someone who is sort of in the entertainment industry, I always want to surprise and delight my guests. So that is what I'm trying to do.
Wow, that's a lot of work on your plate. What do you do for the rest? I know you said you love to read and you cuddle up with your dog to relax. Do you have other hobbies or
My children are in competitive cheer, so I am now a cheer mom, for better or for worse. I go to all their cheer competitions and some of the practices, and we have a tumble track at home, which is this long bouncy thing, and I watch them practice their routines. My husband and I have a date night every week. We try a new restaurant or sometimes go to our, you know, good old one that we always go to. We love to travel, even if we can get away for like a long weekend. If the kids are out of school on Friday or something, we'll hop over to Mexico or maybe Sedona, Arizona or Miami or something, and just take like a quick 3-night trip just as a way to like bond and get out of the house a little bit. I stay busy, I guess you could say. I'm never just sitting around thinking like, oh, what should I do today? Like my day is booked and busy.
go, go.
I'm sure you're the same way, busy mom of four, plastic
Yeah.
surgeon. With this podcast, I was talking to your assistant and I was like, what number episode is this? And she's like, oh, it's 700 something. I was like, 700? I was like, I just got done recording my podcast earlier this morning with Dr. Nicole Martin and we just recorded number 11. I was like, please tell me how to get to 700. Like, I mean, do you just stay consistent and just keep plodding along, right?
Everyday diligence. And then I kind of do block days where I do a lot of podcasts all in one day, but I also just do them randomly. And I think it's such a It's an amazing passion project because everything I want to learn about, I know that my listeners want to learn about. So if I'm going to take time to learn, I'm going to teach you too.
No, I love podcasts. Like, I basically don't really watch TV, but I definitely listen to podcasts when I'm driving to work, when I'm walking the dog, sometimes at night. If my brain is a little, on and I can't turn it off, I'll try to listen to a podcast. So I love it. I learn so much by listening to podcasts.
It's like going to another layer of school. Like,
Yeah.
I'll dive deep into a topic. Like, I wanted to learn crypto. I listened to like 20 hours of crypto podcasts, and I feel like, okay, now I know. Now I get
Okay, so are we investing in
it.
crypto now, or
No,
are
thankfully, I'm a procrastinator, and I never really set up all the accounts right before everything crashed. I'm gonna wait a little while, but yes, eventually, for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, you mentioned that you love taking care of skin and you're very glam. What are your thoughts on aesthetic treatments?
Oh, I love aesthetic treatments. I mean, I do believe in aging naturally and gracefully, but like also with the help of neurotoxins.
I think being in the OR is so drying for our skin.
Oh
Like,
my God,
it's so
so dry.
dehydrating.
And I don't
Yeah.
drink good water because if I'm going into like a 4-hour
And you gotta
vascular
pee all the
case,
time.
because yesterday I just did an endovascular AAA repair. I was in there for like 4 hours. You know what I mean? I don't want to be having to pee. So then I purposely don't drink a lot of water. And now my kidneys are just used to it. And so I am dry, dry, dry. Like every skincare that I use is always like something that's very hydrating.
Same here. I think we have special concerns being in medicine just because we just like we're on you're on your feet the whole day. You don't take care of your skin. You don't drink enough water. You know, it's
Yeah.
definitely a thing. Special. Thank God we're done with wearing masks all the time because that was
Well, I still have to wear mine all the time
you do.
in the
Yeah,
OR.
the OR.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
we've done
I,
the OR.
when we went to during the pandemic, having to wear masks all the time, it was like not a big deal to me because I wear a mask all day anyway, right? So I think I didn't fight it as much as some people that was like, oh my God, I can't stand this mask. I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll just pretend I'm at work.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. We talked a little about salmon sperm polynucleotides. Are there treatments that you think are super cutting edge that you'd like to try, or that,
Yeah.
yeah, like which one?
I would like to try the salmon sperm facial. I also hear that in Korea they inject it, and that can provide good effects. I do not know the science behind it. I just know it's like PDRN and it's supposed to, grow collagen and get rid of wrinkles and all that stuff, but I haven't actually like looked into the science behind it. Other things that I have done, I mean, I get neurotoxin for sure. I haven't gotten any filler in several years, but I did do something called Sculptra, which I
Oh,
thought
love
was
it.
good. Just one vial, like right here. But and then the thing that I do regularly is microneedling, about once, I say quarter, but it probably actually is more like once every 6 months. And then I used to do it, they called it a vampire facial, where they took out my blood and spun it and did the plasma. But now they use exosomes, which they say is better than PRP. So I don't know. You tell me, what do I need to add to my regimen?
No, you're doing all the right things. I think preventative Botox is critical so you don't have like muscle contractions where you don't need them. Microneedling at 4 sessions give you 400% more collagen production. So amazing. I love the collagen stimulators. Like, definitely Sculptra is great. I'm doing a new technique with hyperdiluted radius, which kind of disperses all through the face and gives like firming, tightening, lifting. So I thought you're doing all the right things. So salmon sperm polynucleotides are the newest thing with DNA repair mechanisms. So they take areas where your skin has damage, like sunspots and brown spots, and those are technically damaged melanocytes. So it helps them to repair. So yeah, I think the next generation of what we're doing is longevity wellness treatments. Are you doing anything for IV drips, peptides? What are your thoughts on your longevity tips?
It is on my to-do list to learn more about longevity medicine. I actually signed up for one of those online courses that teaches you can pace yourself on these modules. But of course, I paid for it, but haven't logged in to do it yet because I've been just a wee bit busy. But I think that that's like the future of medicine, the peptides and the NAD and the different supplements. But truth be told, when I was in medical school, we didn't learn any of that stuff. I think we had like a one-day nutrition lecture. sugar, you know? So I'm trying to hit 100 grams of protein right now, which kind of is a
Good.
lot. I mean, I weigh 110 pounds. So I have a protein powder. So in the morning, I put that in my coffee, and that's already 30 grams of protein. So I already feel like, okay,
Okay.
I'm doing good. I'm
Yeah.
doing good. Yeah. And then I have this protein water, and then I have a chicken breast at lunch with some broccoli. And then for dinner, I do whatever I want. You know, I'm like, I was good for breakfast. I was good for lunch. When I come home, if I want pasta, I'm going to eat it. If I want sushi, I'm going to eat it. Like, I don't really watch what I eat for dinner because I do want to enjoy life. And that's also when I have my glass of wine. But yeah, I think longevity medicine is the new future. And I think most traditionally trained doctors don't know much about it. So it's almost like I have to get a new re-education in this new field of medicine.
So true. And I think even just what we learned in med school is highly deficient for hormone therapy for
Oh,
women.
yes. Yeah, I
Like,
mean, well, when I was in med school, they were still teaching like hormone replacement
hormone
therapy causes
stuff.
cancer, right? Like
Yeah.
that whole study did disservice to a whole generation of women who could not have their hormone replacement. Like my mom, she suffered immensely through menopause, and now she's like kind of over it. You know, she's like 65. But yeah, that study that came out really did a disservice to women. And oh, you had Cindy on. I listened to
I love
your
her.
podcast
Yeah.
with Cindy Eckert. She was one of my speakers at Lead Her Summit.
Oh, good. She's
She had
very amazing.
all, yes. And so when I listened to your episode, oh, this is my dog.
I
She wants me to take him
was picturing
outside.
you with this a little white dog, actually, a little purse dog.
He's a
And she's
trained,
got a, what is it, a Doberman?
no, he's a Belgian Malinois.
Oh, how beautiful.
He came from the police academy. He's a trained protection a do dog. He has attack words. Like if I say he will attack someone.
Wow.
I had a little bit of a stalker situation that we won't go into a couple of months ago. And so
Oh.
my husband bought me a protection dog and he goes everywhere with me because I had a stalker situation. So yeah.
Wow,
The
amazing.
downsides, when you asked, does it change you? I was like, how do I answer this question? Yes, it changes you when you have a stalker, and
Yeah.
you feel like you can't go places. But now I have this dog, and he rides in the car with me. I mean, he doesn't go to the hospital, obviously, but he can go on flights. He can go inside restaurants, you know, because he's like a service dog. What was I saying? This is the brain fog
Oh,
that
we were meant
accompanies perimenopause. Oh, I was
to.
talking
Cindy,
about
we're talking
Cindy.
about Cindy.
She was one of our speakers at Lead Her Summit, and she is so amazing. Just her whole story about how she sold the drug and then the company didn't do anything with it, and she bought it back, and how she's
Yeah.
promoted Addie. I'm taking Addie, not Adderall, to be clear, because sometimes people think I'm talking about Adderall. I've never taken Adderall, although I probably need it actually. The Addie, it's ADDYI, which is the pink pill
Yeah.
for female hypoactive sexual dysfunction. Because, truth be told, like in my 40s, you know, things don't work as well as they used to, you know? So, yeah, I've been taking it, it's really helped.
I've heard that from Gwyneth Paltrow. A lot of people are on
Oh,
it.
Gwyneth is on it?
Yes,
What
and
an endorsement.
she just came out and said that it was helping her a lot, you know, just because like you're so vibrant, you're so productive in all aspects of your life, and you want to be who you were when you were 27, 30, you know, but like sex drive changes, and like maybe it's because women's brains just need a lot of space to relax and get in the mood. I
Yes.
think so, because I got like 85 things going on, and like, you know,
Yes.
but
And
that puts you in a
also,
different headspace, I think.
it does. And also, I think you'll understand this as a female entrepreneur who's running their own business. You know, there's so much going on. We have to deal with finances, marketing. You know, there's occasional fires that I have to put out. And then you get home, and it's hard to turn off that sort of like male dominant boss babe energy and to get into your feminine energy and be soft and not be like, you know, what's next? Like, rah, you know what I mean? Because
So true.
some days I feel like I'm on the defense and there's just balls coming at me and I'm like, he, rah, he, you know, like things are coming at me. I'm like, no, you
So
will not
relate
code. I just
to
had a female, young female, healthy patient code on the table from
that.
anaphylaxis to ANCEF. And I was
Oh,
like, what
Jesus
the hell?
Christ.
Yeah. And so then, you know, when I get home and my husband and we're having a glass of wine, I want to, you know, turn back to my feminine energy and be soft and not like on this defensive, like balls are still coming at me. And so it's hard. Yeah. And I just think, anything that can help with that helps move us in the right direction.
So true. I think also just as a mom, you're just like, okay, I don't want anyone to touch me. Stay away. Don't ask me any questions. Get
Yeah.
in my space. I need to remember who I am
Yeah.
first.
No, like I'm overstimulated. I need nobody to want me for a minute. Because, at the hospital, my pager's on. If anything goes, I have to answer it. Then I get home, then the kids are on me. Mommy this, mommy that, mommy help me with this. Mommy, I can't find my shirt, all this stuff. And then at like 9:30, I'm like, I do, please, like, I have a headache. I can't. Like, I just want to have a glass of wine and like scroll my Instagram and like hang out and go to sleep early. Like, I can't right now.
That's true. We need that decompression time for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, I want to end with a little rapid fire dose of Tiffany. So I'm asking you some quick questions. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Yoga or weights?
Weights.
Oh, okay, good. I love it.
Yes, we gotta bo build that bone density, girlfriend. I am not gonna, have osteoporosis and break my hip when I'm 80.
I don't want to be frail. No.
No, no.
Okay. Favorite supplement?
Timeline, MitoPure. It's
Oh, love.
amazing. I've been taking it for almost a year. Like, I have the gummies and I have the soft gels. I'm telling you, like, people think I'm full of it or whatever. I mean, I take it every day.
Crazy. That just popped up on my Amazon, 40% off on Friday.
Yeah, you should get
Okay, I will. Daily ritual for staying youthful.
Good skincare. Do not skip the skincare at night. I got my serum, moisturizer, eye cream.
One overrated aesthetic treatment. What's overrated?
Filler.
Oh, okay. Red light therapy, yes or no?
Yes.
Love it. Botox in your 20s, problematic or preventative?
In the middle, I think fine. It's fine.
Fine, right?
Yeah.
One book that every woman should read
I
besides.
mean, I am going to shamelessly plug my
Okay,
own
go
book.
ahead.
I mean, you teed me up, Dr. K. I don't know.
Ah, yes, Joy
You have to
Prescription.
read Joy Prescriptions. It is my memoir with a self-help message. I have gotten feedback that women have really resonated with them. It's sort of for the high achieving professional woman, who's doing it all but still feels like there's something missing. So, yeah, I would love for you guys to read my book.
I think that's amazing. We should. What's one surprising thing that people don't know about you?
That I'm an introvert.
Yes. And then one thing that everyone knows about you.
I mean, that I was a housewife.
That's true. Would you do Dallas Housewives again, given the chance to do a do-over?
Only if the cast were very different.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
not doing the same thing again and expecting different results, right? So if it's the same clowns, then I'm not interested in that circus. If there was a very large redo of the cast, like 50% or more, I would reconsider it.
I love it. One
Yeah.
thing you wish you'd done in your 20s that you never got around to.
Enjoy life a little bit more. Have fun. My 20s was spent in the library,
Oh,
like,
so
and then in the
insane.
hospital,
So
I was
true.
19 when I graduated from Cornell, 23 when I graduated from medical school, and 28 when I graduated from residency. Like, I worked my ass off during my 20s. I wish I would have like partied a little bit more.
Definitely. Well, one thing you're going to do in the next 10 years that you think is a bucket list item.
Travel more, especially internationally.
That's great. Do you have another book coming?
Not for now. I'm tired. Like, I gave it all. I mean, it's a memoir, so I don't have any more to tell for now. We'll have
That's
to wait
great.
another 35 years for the second memoir to come out.
Well, it's been such a joy chatting with you. You are so vibrant. You've given me your energy for today. So
There's a TikTok sound that's like more energy, more passion.
I feel yes,
I
exactly.
think I just live my life now with like TikTok sounds. Like, something will happen and like a TikTok sound will pop into my
It
head.
triggers you.
That
Yeah.
is so sad. That is so sad.
It. It's how we stay young.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you if they want to connect with you, Dr. Tiffany Moon?
I'm on all the social media platforms at Tiffany Moon MD. You can DM me or email me at info@TiffanyMoonMD. And Lead Her Summit is leadhersummit.com. It's going to be in Dallas from November 7th through 9th.
I love it. Okay, I definitely want to come to one of those conferences. I
Yay.
am so glad we got this time together. I have learned a lot and also got some motivation from you. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank
Don't
you so much for having me.
Yeah, that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is beautybydrk.com, where you can find some of our longevity things like collagen peptides and all of the amazing skincare. I actually just launched a new skincare line that's related to mitochondrial boosters, NAD precursors, and things to improve skin longevity. So
Amazing.
yeah, more about that soon. I'm going to send you some to try, of course.
I would love that, and I'll send you some aromesthesia.
Oh, I love it. Okay,
Propofol,
propofol on the way.
Xanax, and ketamine are on the way.
I love it. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.